You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, Yom Kippur from Gaza, by the way of Damascus to home. Topic, my name, written in the book of the Lamb. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning as a tool for the delivery of your message. I pray, Lord, that you will give the right words so that your kingdom will be enlarged and the church in this place will grow. I know, Lord, that I am not worthy, but it is not up to us to be worthy in your sight, because it is you who made us worthy through Jesus the Christ. Lord, I know that you do not look for those with the highest qualifications, but for those with the right heart. Father, Abba, Adonai, I pray that you will let our hearts be right to receive the anointing of your Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh, so that the words of your message will find entrance into our hearts and we will be blessed. Lord, help me today when so many have celebrated Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, to relay the message of Yeshua and the at-one-ment for life. Amen. Just in short then, and I need to tell you that I do not intend, or intended, to have a message on the topic of Yom Kippur, but my friends, at-one-ment, as some relay atonement, just jumps out at you. Okay, so let's give a brief generalization of the feast. Rosh Hashanah is the new year of the Jewish people and, more or less, our new church year. It celebrates that Abraham was obedient and that Isaac was saved by the replacement sacrifice of the ram in the bush. It is also the anticipation of the judgment day, believed by many to be on Rosh Hashanah. Then, after this day, there will be a 10-day period leading to the execution of this judgment, the writing in the Book of Life or the Book of Death. Hence, Yom Kippur. The beautiful thing, however, is that on Yom Kippur, the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, would enter the Holiest of Holies to make blood atonement for our sin. And because of that, the name could then be written into the Book of Life instead of the Book of Death. With the Brit Chadasha, the New Covenant, there is a new Kohen Gadol, and his name is Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. He did not just go into the Holiest of Holies to make blood atonement for our sins. No, he opened it up. The curtain was torn in two, and he lives there. Oh, hallelujah and amen. He, Yeshua, Jesus, lives with the Father in the holiest of the holiest of holiest places, heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father and has provided us, those who will never be able to enter in, but are able to see in, through his word, a lifeline. This holiest of holies is no longer on earth, and so then, how, what, where, if, how do we have access? Yes, great question. Through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, we have received direct access to God. Direct access to God to confess our sins, to repent from our sins, to receive instruction, to receive correction, to receive love and blessings. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. For Messiah has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. At the website Hebrews, we as Christians can read the substitutionary shedding of blood, the life-for-life principle, is essential to the true at-one-ment with God. The ordinances of the Levitical priesthood were just types and shadows of the coming substance that would give us everlasting atonement with God. Because of Yeshua, we have a Kohen Gadol, high priest of the better covenant, based on better promises. For this reason, it is entirely appropriate to celebrate Yom Kippur by standing still, reflecting, and giving thanks to the Lord for the permanent Chatima Tova, the final sealing in the Book of Life, given to us through the salvation of His Son. Yom Kippur, then, is indeed changed from a feast of eagerly awaiting and anticipating forgiveness to a feast of celebration of forgiveness. We know that we know that we know through Yeshua our names have been written in the Book of Life, the Book of the Lamb. Hallelujah! At one meant, we have been atoned for our sin by Jesus, Yeshua, the Deliverer, and He is waiting for those who are not that sure about it yet to make up their minds. The atonement is the coming to God in Christ, being one in Him. Through one, be one. One body, the Church. One head, Yeshua, Jesus. Jesus being in the presence of the Almighty means the Church being with the Almighty. Oh, hallelujah! We, through Yeshua, do not have to ask the priest to atone for our sins through sacrifice. No need to go to the priest to ask what to do about confession and what to do about sin. No need to pray to anybody else than God, the Father, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No earthly mediator is needed. He has given us His Holy Spirit to fuse with our spirit so that there can be direct communication between God and mankind. So how is this possible then? Because God is holy and we are not. Okay, one more time then. Because Jesus the Christ is the Kohen Gadol, the High Priest, who has once and for all given the ultimate blood, He is into the holiest of holies, and we have been forgiven and written in the Book of Life. Phew, wow, yes, that is it. We have received that wonderful book, the Holy Bible, consisting of the Tanakh and the Brit Chadasha, the Old and the New Testament, full of all of the answers we might ever need. Oh, but what when I do not understand what is written to me? Ah, yes, that is where we truly have a great start. Let's open up Scripture. During the last weeks, we have seen how the message of salvation through Christ went out through the world, to the Jews first, and then the Gentiles. Many Gentiles are still lost. In comparison, it might still even be a far higher percentage of Jewish people who are still lost. One of these Jewish people came from Ethiopia, and he, okay, let's just read it together from God's Word. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, Amplified Bible. But an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and proceed southward, or at midday, on the road that runs from Jerusalem down to Gaza. This is the desert route." So he got up and went. And behold, an Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was now returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading the book of the prophet Isaiah. Then the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go forward and join yourself to this chariot." Accordingly, Philip, running up to him, heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah and asked, "Do you really understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How is it possible for me to do so unless someone explains it to me and guides me in the right way?" and he earnestly requested Philip to come up and sit beside him. Now this was the passage of Scripture which he was reading. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, he was taken away by distressing and oppressive judgment, and justice was denied him, caused to cease. Who can describe or relate in full the wickedness of his contemporaries' generation? For his life is taken from the earth, and a bloody death inflicted upon him. And the eunuch said to Philip, I beg of you, tell me, about whom does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this portion of Scripture, he announced to him the glad tidings, gospel, of Jesus and about him. And as they continued along on the way, they came to some water, and the eunuch exclaimed, See, here is water. What is to hinder my being baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, if you have a conviction, full of joyful trust that Jesus is the Messiah, and accept him as the author of your salvation in the kingdom of God, giving him your obedience, then you may. And he replied, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered that the chariot be stopped, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way, rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing on, he preached the good news, gospel, to all the towns until he reached Caesarea. First thing I need to note is that when you are reading different versions of the Scripture, verse 37 might have been completely omitted. I have chosen a version here that has it included for amplification of the word. It is that in some manuscripts, this verse is found, and in some, it is not. It is in this same way that we receive the Holy Spirit in our lives for explanation. We read the word and do not understand what we read. Or we might have read a word that for many years we have not understood, or even misunderstood. It is through the Holy Spirit that we receive a Philip encounter, through a living and breathing person saying something to us, providing understanding, or even through one of those AHA moments, or, and I have had quite a few of those in the last couple of years, one of those, oh my God, really, moments. Those moments that truly turn your belief system upside down. It might even bring you into a spiritual battle, one of those, that cannot be right, I have heard this my whole life, and now you are telling me this, kind of moments. A Philip moment, the eunuch's life was changed forever. He read it, but did not understand, but now he did. Praise the Lord. The eunuch was now written into the book of life. The church, or the people of the way, as they were called at first, like in the people of the way of life, believers in Yeshua, the Christ. That one, yes, the church, Christians, were persecuted. Who then would be better than someone who studied the doings, the shaking and moving of a culture, than one who persecuted it? Enter Saul of Tarsus. Saul, a man with a zeal to destroy the Christian church. His mother was Jewish and his father Roman, thus he was known by two different names, Saul of Tarsus and Paul, who we know as Paul the Apostle. It was not straight after his conversion that he was called Paul in the Scriptures. This was way later on in his life, when he was visiting the island of Cyprus for the first time. In Acts chapter 13, verse 9, King James Version. Acts chapter 13, verse 9, King James Version. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. There are three different instances in the Book of Acts that we hear about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who, maybe for transparency's sake, we call by his Roman name Paul from now on. The third one is where Paul tells the story himself, in defense of accusations to King Agrippa. So let's read this together from the Common English Bible. Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 23, Common English Bible. I really thought that I ought to oppose the name of Jesus the Nazarene in every way possible, and that's exactly what I did in Jerusalem. I locked up many of God's holy people in prison under the authority of the chief priests. When they were condemned to death, I voted against them, in one synagogue after another. Indeed, in all the synagogues, I would often torture them, compelling them to slander God. My rage bordered on the hysterical as I pursued them, even to foreign cities. On one such journey, I was going to Damascus with the full authority of the chief priests. While on the road at midday, King Agrippa, I saw a light from heaven shining around me and my traveling companions. That light was brighter than the sun. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice that said to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why are you harassing me? It's hard for you to kick against a spear." Then I said, "Who are you, Lord?" The Lord replied, "I am Jesus, whom you are harassing. Get up, stand on your feet. I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as my servant and witness of what you have seen and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to open their eyes. Then they can turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God and receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are made holy by faith in me." So, King Agrippa, I wasn't disobedient to that heavenly vision. Instead, I proclaimed first to those in Damascus and Jerusalem, then to the whole region of Judea, and to the Gentiles. My message was that they should change their hearts and lives and turn to God, and that they should demonstrate this change in their behavior. Because of this, some Jews seized me in the temple and tried to murder me. God has helped me up to this very day. Therefore, I stand here and bear witness to the lowly and the great. I'm saying nothing more than what the prophets and Moses declared would happen, that the Christ would suffer, and that, as the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to my people and to the Gentiles. As the majority of the known world was occupied by the great Roman Empire, who then would have been better suited than the great rabbinic scholar, Hebrew and Roman citizen Paul? It is not written how Paul died, but legend tells us that he was beheaded. Because he was a Roman citizen, crucifixion was too cruel a punishment for him. As we can read in the letters from Paul and the descriptions, the biographies of his life, many have been brought by his work into the kingdom of Christ. And with that, many have received atonement for their sin. As the Day of Atonement was a day set aside for the Jewish people, Jesus, fully man and fully God, made as the Jewish man atonement to God for all who believe in him and want to follow and obey him. Yes, you might have noticed I did indeed say follow and obey. Why? Remember Acts chapter 8, verse 37, Amplified Bible, from our Ethiopian story. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, Amplified Bible. And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, if you have a conviction full of joyful trust that Jesus is the Messiah and accept him as the author of your salvation in the kingdom of God, giving him your obedience, then you may." And he replied, "I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Giving lip service by just saying yes, Jesus, I believe, is not enough. If you truly believe, you act. If you truly believe, you change. If you truly believe, you want to follow him and do as he tells you. If you truly are a Christian, a follower of, and a believer in Christ, your life has and will be changed forever, so that your name is written in the book of life, the book of the Lamb. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Amplified Bible. Since all have sinned and are falling short of the honor and glory which God bestows and receives. Acts chapter 16, verses 29 through 31, Common English Bible. The jailer called for some lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He led them outside and asked, "Honorable masters, what must I do to be rescued?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, Amplified Bible. For this is the will of God, that you should be consecrated, separated, and set apart for pure and holy living. Acts chapter 19, verses 5 through 6, Common English Bible. After they listened to Paul, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in other languages and prophesying. We all have sinned, this is for sure. We all have fallen short of the glory of God, that is for certain. The glory of Yom Kippur in Messiah is this: what once stood before us as a yearly reminder of sin now stands before us as a witness of completed redemption. The blood has been brought in. The veil has been torn. The high priest has entered, and he remains there on our behalf. That means the trembling soul does not have to guess, and the repentant heart does not have to wander. In Yeshua HaMashiach, there is forgiveness, cleansing, reconciliation, and access. And so the question is not merely whether we admire the message, but whether we have entered into it. Is your name written in the book of the Lamb? Have you merely heard of atonement, or have you come into atonement with God through His Son? The gospel still calls, still convicts, still saves, and still transforms. The same Lord who met the Ethiopian on the Gaza Road and Paul on the Damascus Road is still meeting men and women today. For some, that meeting comes in a sermon. For others, it comes in a quiet reading of the Word. For others, it comes in a Philip moment, when the Ruach HaKodesh sends a voice, a witness, a teacher, a friend, or even a holy interruption that suddenly makes the truth plain. Yet the call remains the same: repent, believe, follow, obey, and receive the life that is found in Messiah alone. So let us not leave this truth in the realm of theory. Let us come boldly, humbly, and gratefully to the throne of grace. Let us bless the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has provided the Lamb, the blood, the covenant, and the way home. And let every heart that hears this message answer with faith, with surrender, and with joy: my name, by the grace of God in Yeshua, is written in the book of the Lamb. Yes, I am saved, I have been set aside, which is called sanctified, and I have received the Spirit of God Almighty, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Written in the book of the Lamb, saved, sanctified, and Holy Spirit filled. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.